are not a monolith. We are here today with community activists, Monique Scarlett with Unity in the Community, and with Sioux City Police Chief Rex Mueller. Lots to talk about, Shelby. What you think?
Well, hi. Thanks for taking the time to talk with Ike and me. So just to give a little context of, I think, the times that we are living in as far as being in the midst of a pandemic of COVID-19, and just as having a conversation around the response of the protests that have erupted from specifically George Floyd's death last week in Minneapolis, my first question out of the gate that I would love, Rex, if you could speak to this, something that's on my and many other people's hearts is, why does this keep happening?
Well, yeah. You know, here's the thing. I've observed, at least in my profession here locally, and that is my exposure. We're fortunate. We're fortunate to have the community of law enforcement that we do. We're fortunate that we have a community of citizens that we do. The relationship that we continue to build, and a relationship that I'm never going to stop building. As to police use of force and or misuse of force and excessive force, that's something that we all resist and hope to eradicate. All officers of good conscience, of good moral character, and want positive community relations. They want positive training. They want to be able to engage citizens successfully and not have incidents like this. I can tell you that seeing George Floyd and watching that video, I think people don't understand how deeply it sickens and disturbs police officers, because we work so hard to build these relationships. We work so hard to establish that trust. And you feel as though all the work that you've done to do that is somehow instantly washed away when an incident of this magnitude happens. And my wife haven't slept. When this happened, I knew the reaction, and the reaction was valid. And I can't tell you how much my heart aches on a daily basis for this incident and what it has done to damage our reputation. And you know, why does this keep happening? There are people in every profession, and I'm not excusing or in any way giving light to this. There are people in every profession that do not fit the profession, do not fit the profile of what they should be. We need people of good moral character that embrace diversity, that understand their role as public servants. And I see it as very much that.
And just for full disclosure, not only am I the host of this show, one of the hosts, I also am the president of the NAACP. And so some of my questions will kind of come from both positions. You know, Monique, you started a community action group, Unity in the Community, that specifically was to team up in partnership with the police department, law enforcement as a whole. I mean, just being real with you, I got to ask you, I mean, when you see what happened with George Floyd, I mean, you started this organization years ago because of something of this nature. How do you feel, you know, coming to the present day? How do you feel about that?
My first reaction, of course, as a Black woman, a Black mother, it saddens me. I remember 4 years ago, I sat in my recliner and cried when I seen the video, what was happening to Mr. Taylor. I was actually in my house in a different area, and I just froze. I literally just froze. We watched a man literally die, be murdered right in front of our very eyes and pleading for his life. So my initial reaction is sadness. And then of course that turns into anger, frustration. Before being a community leader, like I said, I'm a mother. That could have been my son. So that's how I look at things like that, bringing it personal. From a broader perspective, as the founder of Unity in the Community, you know, our mission has always been to have a positive relationship and partnerships with our law enforcement, and is built on four components: love, hope, peace, and prayer. And it takes all four for us to have partnerships and be able to reach out into the communities like we need to. Right now, the environment, I get it. I get the protesting. Yes, we do need change. Yes, enough is enough. We're tired of seeing our Black men specifically be killed or die at the hands of hate, because really that's what it boils down to, is hate. Racism is derived from hate. You know, unity in the community is all about embracing partnerships. And, you know, Mr. Floyd's death is an unfortunate example of one man's hate that has erupted an entire nation of anger and violence. So we just have to find a better way to channel that. I can't express that enough. It hurts me. I cry every time I look at that video. And I purposely continue to look at it because it has to stay forefront of the cause and how far we yet have to go.
Rex, when you are trying to recruit, you know, and we all hear this, you recruit an officer, you train the officer. When do you push your training aside? What is it when they turn off the training and just go personal?
Where do things change? I can tell you that a lot of officer mistakes occur out of fear, that they are in a situation where they have not been before, or it's so heightened that every one of us is programmed a certain way. And we want officers who are programmed to be the calm in the storm. We need to, when we respond to calls for service, people need to maintain their dignity. People need to feel respected by us. We're public servants. We respond to the calls from the people who are our bosses. In incidents like this, I can't imagine, I can't even get myself in the headspace of this officer because I can't see it. I don't know how this could have happened. I don't know how 10 minutes could have passed. And somehow that's all right in your head. I have literally stopped watching the video because I cannot do it. It sickens to me to my very core. It saddens me to my very core. My wife and I have cried about this. And the damage that one man did to an entire profession of people that I have found to be some of the finest people that I've ever been with. I am with these people on a daily basis. And I can't express to you in the audience how amazing they are, how empathetic they are, how much they care. Are they human? Yes. When they've been spit on, when they've been, when a suspect strikes them in the face and runs from them, shoots at them, when those things happen, do you get hard? Do you become a bit rigid to get through the pain and try to move forward? Yes. Does sometimes that manifest itself in negative things? Yes. But I challenge anybody in the audience to be treated like our officers are at some point, like people of color feel at times, to be treated that way and to not respond negatively at times. Ike, I know I took a long time with that.
And you know what, and that's fine. And I just wanted, and I know Shelby probably has a question, but you said something key there. You know, you take a chance every day when you leave the house, and your officers take that chance every day, not knowing what may happen. And sure, you signed up for that.
Oh,
I mean, but as a Black man, I didn't sign up for that. And why should I have, you know, some of my members are calling me and saying, man, you know, I walk down the street, I take a walk every day, and today it's different. You know, I'm afraid. And not even just police officers. We know that there was a case in Georgia where a kid was running and was killed. And the issue that we have with that was the accountability aspect of it. It took 2 months for them to be arrested. As a police officer, I mean, why would that even be a question when, you know, and I didn't sign up to be killed going for a walk. And so I think people want to know, You know, and Shelby, I saw your hand up, so go ahead if you want to piggyback on that.
Look, I just really quick want to insert one of the struggles that I have in this community in Sioux City, where I was born, raised, and love and have mad pride with this community, is this line that we're constantly, Rex, I know you feel it, that when things like this happen, it suddenly becomes a competition between who's struggling more, the police or the minorities. And that's not the conversation. We all know that that's not the conversation. Some of the very foundational conversations I've had with my Black father, my dad said right away, he said, "You have no idea how scared the police are, especially when we live in a country that we have the right to protect ourselves. We have the right to carry arms, and they are outnumbered. They know they're outnumbered." And when you match that fear into situations, like that service is so important. So I just want to have that ground level of just saying that you hear that out of my mouth, that I respect the police and the job that they do. I am so grateful that we live in a community that this hasn't happened to in. And if we can speak to what all of our experience is around the fear of the citizen, that feels like what I said, that when we go out, the fear of who am I going to encounter, and is my life on the line? One of the things that Monique, that you had said when you were talking about the nature of the hatred behind acts like this, something that keeps resurfacing for me inside of this is the importance of the democracy that we live in and due process. Never have I valued more the officers that give citizens the right to due process. And never have I been more disturbed by the judge, jury, and executioner stance that comes when someone's life is taken, like George Floyd. And the messaging that I keep picking up over and over again has to do with the heritage and the history of being Black in America, which is that we're owned and that we're property. And every time that this happens, that's what this is. The message is that we've always been owned in the United States. And that's what I want my police to understand, that when we as citizens are denied basic due process, which even inside that system, it has its own issues, but at that point of entry with the police, a fatal encounter with the police, that's the message for me. I don't know that other non-Black or non-minority citizens in this city realize that like right now in 2020, I go, oh yeah, that's right. Because when the rubber hits the road, you own us. You own us, because you have the right to take our life.
There's a little sketch that's surfacing right now on Facebook, and I've seen it years ago, but it's resurfaced, where we have a police officer and a little African-American kid sitting on the stool at a counter eating. And he looks at the African-American kid and he said, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" And the little kid looks at the officer and he said, "Alive."
Wow.
That speaks volume. That is the perspective now of the younger crowd. I just simply want to be alive at 25.
You know, and what I said a few minutes ago about, you know, when a police officer signs up, please understand, you know, listeners, that I support the police 100%. And I want everybody to come home. I want them to come home. I want to come home and all of those things. So I do get that. You know, we talk about this coming together in the Black Lives Movement. And Shelby, you said something that popped in my head. And Rex, you know, if you can talk about the whole, Blue Lives Matter. It's almost like Shelby said, it's a competition here. And people have made it a competition when it shouldn't be. And I would love for a police officer to say, you know what, you know, No, this is not what this is about. This is not about Blue Lives Matter. How do we combat that? And even Monique, maybe you can, how do we combat where we stop being this you know, okay, well, Black Lives, oh, no, Blue Lives Matter. I mean, how do we cross that bridge?
You know, I
let Rex, yeah.
Go ahead. All right. I've never typed the hashtag Blue Lives Matter. I won't wear a Blue Lives Matter t-shirt. And it's not because I don't support that. I think what people push back from is, and I understand why Black Lives Matter. I don't resent that term. I support that term. I appreciate that term. I know why that term evolved. So I don't find that, but I think what you see is you see families, and a lot of it's families. They see the Black Lives Matter movement. Their spouse is a law enforcement officer. And since George Floyd died, I think 8 officers have been killed in the line of duty. And unless it's the local news, no attention is paid to that. People are looked at, law enforcement officers in some way are looked at as acceptable losses. Well, that's what they signed up for. And so when you have family members who kiss somebody goodbye, who go out there, that's their way of expressing the same thing the Black Lives Matter movement did. But I agree with you. I don't like the headbutting. I don't like the competition. If that's not what it's about. I agree with both, but at the same time, I don't feel the need to compartmentalize somebody or to marginalize somebody by just saying, well, only these lives matter. Only I support Black Lives Matter. I support Blue Lives Matter, but I believe all life is sacred. I mean, that's my faith. That's my personal background. I understand where they evolve from, but I agree with you, Ike, that why does it have to be, you know, tit for tat? If somebody says Black Lives Matter, why does it need to be countered with Blue Lives Matter?
Speaking to that, where we're at right now, like the fire that's burning feels like it's this, but there's been a lot of dry kindling around of being quarantined, of losing jobs, of losing all levels of security. And it meant so much to me that our police were actually escorting our protesters. And like that to me is unity in the community, the understanding
yes.
that we're trying to get somewhere together. And that speaks volumes to me that our police understand and display that they're here to serve and protect even in the cases of protesting. So
the best thing that we do, the absolute best thing that we do to reach both of our end goals is to engage, is to community police, is that we come together, and that fear that anybody would have, we can mitigate that. And I can't tell you how many in the light of these protests, how many emails I've gotten from members of the community of color that have said in their time here, they moved here from somewhere else like you, Ike, and said, I have never felt anxiety at dealing with your officers. I've always felt very well respected and very well protected. And I am so happy that warms my heart in light of all that is going on, that it's working, that what we're doing is working. I'm never gonna say that we've got it all figured out. We are a work in progress, okay? But we need to be open to that, and we need to engage. And I can tell you that COVID has, I agree. I think Shelby was very insightful. I use an analogy that all of this is this cup. My life is a cup, and my cup has been overflowing lately with things with my family, with things here at work, and we have COVID. And now we have this, and I have been over the last week building up the edges of my cup so I could contain more, because we're all at a breaking point. So how much does this impact what we're dealing with?
So let me finish by saying this. The healing begins only when the heart is heard. Our national, state, and local levels and leaders must continue to listen to the heartbeat of the community. Sioux City, I have a lot of hope and trust in our leaders and you as citizens. And get involved. Look at us on Facebook, Unity in the Community Sioux City, and get involved. That's all I'm saying. Get involved. Whatever movement you want, get involved and be a participator. Thank you all for this, and may God bless our nation.